This Sunday, we commemorate the Holy Innocents and the Martyrs. The Psalm of the day is Psalm 54. The scripture readings for this Sunday are the Old Testament reading taken from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 15 to 17. The second reading is from Revelation chapter 14, verses 1 to 5. The Holy Gospel comes from St. Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 to 18. Pastor Magruder is basing today's sermon on the Gospel reading for this Sunday from St. Matthew. He will read that for you now. Here is the Reverend David Magruder, the pastor of Peace with Christ Lutheran Church, with his sermon for this Sunday titled, Only One Thing Matters in the Midst of Heartache.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A reading from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the second chapter, beginning with the 13th verse. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Rise, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, Out of Egypt I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. This is the word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Nothing that happens concerning Jesus happens by accident. His conception by a virgin mother, his birth in Bethlehem, his flight to Egypt, the baby boys who were killed because they resembled him, his return and residency in Nazareth, none of this was accidental. The words of the prophets had to be fulfilled. The mouth of the Lord had spoken, and it was going to happen at just the right time in the fullness of time. This is how the word of the Lord works. It is spoken, and it is done. Maybe not right away. In fact, rarely right away. But the word spoken is already the event, shaping history, ordering all things toward the fullness of time. As St. Paul writes in Galatians, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. God sent his Son so that we might be sons. He was born of woman that we might be born of God. But the fullness of time does not mean that things will go smoothly and easily. Often it's quite the opposite. Herod wants to kill Jesus. He's a threat to the throne, or so Herod believes. Herod wants to be the king of the Jews and will stop at nothing to secure the title. The wise men's inquiry about a king being born troubled Herod enough to kill all the baby boys in Bethlehem 2 years old and under, just to be sure he got Jesus. But the fullness of time had not yet come for his death. His hour had not yet come. It would, in the fullness of time. One Friday afternoon, some 30 years later, on a cross outside Jerusalem, but not just now. Now he must be whisked off to Egypt by Joseph, guided by angels in a dream. Like Israel before him, Jesus goes to Egypt for safety until the fullness of time had come and Herod had died. And then, like Israel before him, he makes his exodus out of Egypt. The word through the prophet Hosea had come to the fullness of its time. Out of Egypt have I called my son. The son is protected. His life is spared. But not so his contemporaries, the baby boys of Bethlehem and vicinity, whose only crime is that they resemble Jesus. And they fall to Herod's sword. Now we've all had this question. Couldn't God have intervened? Couldn't the Father have sent angels to all the families of Bethlehem so that they could flee Herod too? Why was Jesus spared and the rest of the babies were not? Those are questions that arise whenever we meet the death of innocence, the horrific death of children by abuse, or the slaughter of babies in the womb. Why didn't God intervene to save those children? At face value, it seems unfair. God's son gets whisked off to safety in Egypt, and Rachel once again weeps for her little ones. Now, some might use this episode as an illustration of the weakness or perhaps even the non-existence of God. Surely, if there's a God, he would not let the Herods of the world slay innocent children. So the logic of what is called theodicy goes. How do you reconcile the evil of Herod and the goodness of God? If God is merciful and powerful, if he's loving as well as omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent, then why doesn't he just exert his omnis and do something about it? Why doesn't God just take a preemptive hit on Herod and spare the baby boys and their grieving parents? In fact, Herod did die sometime after that, so you might say that God eventually did take him out, but why not sooner? And why not soon enough to save the baby boys of Bethlehem? I ask those questions knowing full well I can't answer them. We are not given the answer to many of our why questions. Why is a question spoken into the silence of despair when nothing makes sense. We want some kind of handy explanation, one-size-fits-all answer for the tragedies that surround us and invade our lives. There are plenty of mothers today weeping for their children who are no more and refusing to be comforted by superficial answers. They don't need to hear things like, God needed them more than you do. There is no sense to the episode, no reasonable explanations that can bring closure to the horror of that day in Bethlehem. There is only a king so drunk on power that he's willing to kill anyone who gets in the way of his agenda, and a God who seems either unwilling or unable to stop him or at least intervene on behalf of the innocents. Now, to get a bead on things, we need to focus on that singular child who, at least at the moment, seems to be the object of God's attention, the one who gets whisked off to Egypt and escapes the sword of Herod. He's the one we need to pay attention to. He's God's child, the prophetic promise fulfilled, the promised seed of the woman who would crush the head of the serpent and deal decisively with sin and death once and for all. Saving those baby boys of Bethlehem would have saved them and spared their mother's, Rachel's, tears, but it would not have saved the world or them from sin and death. If we can discern anything about God's agenda, it's that he's intent on saving the world, not just a handful of people here and there, the world, the cosmos, everything he created by the word he intends to redeem and save by the word made flesh. Scripture and our common experience tells us that God isn't so much into personal intervention. He's not our micromanager in heaven. He doesn't prevent every earthquake or drunk driver or stray bullet or political herd of this world or cancer cells from happening. He seems to leave things free to operate according to the laws of nature he established. Instead, the Father focuses on his Son. That's the one who needs to be protected in Egypt. That's the one who needs to be spared Herod's sword. That's the one who must come out of Egypt and live in Nazareth. That's the one the prophets were speaking about. This is my beloved Son, the Father says to him in his baptism. And in focusing all his energies and attentions on the Son, the Word made flesh, the Father focuses all his creative love and energy on the world, because the Son embodies the world. He is the Word through whom the world was made. He is the Word that is the light and life of all men. He is all of humanity in one man. He's the second Adam who brings life and forgiveness and reconciliation and peace. Holy Scripture says, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting men's sins against them. Jesus himself said, God loved the world in this way, that he sent his only begotten Son. John the Baptizer pointed to this Jesus, and he said, Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Herod died. Those poor little children died. I will die. You will die. But the important thing, the only thing that matters, is that Jesus died and rose for you. And in that one death, the world and all its sin and unreconciled evil is reconciled. So we can never say that God does nothing to intervene in the face of sudden and evil death and suffering. God did the one thing that needed to be done. He sent his Son to be born into our flesh and to die and rise to save us. God, for whatever his reasons, did not spare the baby boys of Bethlehem from Herod's sword, but he redeemed their lives on Jesus' cross. Every life and every death, including theirs, is accounted for in the death of Jesus. That doesn't make you safe in this world, or any more privileged. Even daily bread comes to the good and the evil, the believing and the unbelieving alike. We suffer the same injustices, the same diseases, the same tragedies. Herod's sword doesn't discriminate. But the kingdom is ours in God's Son, spared at Bethlehem, but crucified on Calvary, so that in him you would be saved forever. And this has happened to fulfill the word spoken through the prophets in the fullness of time. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
And now, please join us to confess our holy Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom, as you taught us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, the martyred innocence of Bethlehem showed forth your praise not by speaking, but by dying. Put to death in us all that is in conflict with your will, that our lives may bear witness to the faith we profess with our lips. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. Go in peace and serve the Lord.